For more information on Ancient Dragon Zen Gate, please visit our website at www.ancientdragon.org. Our teachings are offered to the community through the generosity of our supporters. To make a donation online, please visit our website.
Good evening. I have been told that there are classical Buddhist texts that mention five great fears, which are fear of illness, fear of losing one's livelihood, fear of dementia, fear of death, and almost up there with fear of death is fear of public speaking. And I'm here to tell you that that's true. My name is Douglas Floyd. I am the president of Ancient Dragon Zen Gate, and our teacher, Taigen Dan Layton, asked me to give the Dharma talk tonight following a three-day sesshin in which we spoke on Dogen's writings on Zazen and the fruits of Zazen. And so when he asked me what to talk about, I, in shock, said, "Oh, Zazen." Sure. So there's a certain amount of pressure there. And our head doan, Dylan, ratcheted it up a little bit when I arrived by saying, "Well, okay, so you're going to tell us tonight what enlightenment is." So I figured what we would do is what we just did, is chant Dogen's Fukan Zazengi, the universally recommended instructions for Zazen, because I figured, that would recap the weekend. It would really explain what Dogen thought about Zazen, and that's pretty definitive for us. And it might mean I could forego speaking altogether, or maybe Taigen would step in and do it. But I spoke to Taigen a little bit ago, and he let me know that no, he would not be speaking tonight. So it's just me. The experience of public speaking can be, it's kind of a model for much of the activity of our ordinary life, everyday life. So throughout, by nurture, from living in our society and from past experience with public speaking, I've deposited, I'm sure, karmic seeds in my storehouse consciousness that associate public speaking with aversion. So faced with this situation when I have to speak, the storehouse consciousness is triggered, the seeds come out, and the aversion and anxiety and actual fear perfume all of my thinking, feelings, and desires with respect to what I have to do. And in grasping the thinking and perception of what's going to happen, you get completely tied up with hypotheticals of what could happen. That you see this situation as something fixed out there, and the people out there, your manas, the seventh consciousness described in Yogacara thought, draws a line and creates the division that this situation out there and the people out here, and let me say in particular Dylan and Taigen, are threatening objects of awareness that can give rise to tremendous suffering. And in short, the attachment and aversion and the clinging to the thoughts and hypotheticals that you come up with really hijack your experience of the situation, and narrows your awareness to your idea of what the situation is, maybe your perception of these people here and what could happen. And although you're aware of maybe what's going on in this room, all of the sensory input and so on, it's really the thinking about the public speaking and the fears and the aversion and the feelings and desires that are really in the foreground. other aspects of consciousness and perception are really in the background or ignored altogether. And that sort of thing happens all the time in our lives. So you're starting to ask, well, what's that got to do with Zazen? And I thought maybe I would call my talk, Zazen is not like that. So, I mean, we just chanted Fukan Zazengi, so you're very aware of Dogen's instructions on how to perform Zazen. We take our upright, immovable position. We do not move at all. Our eyes are half closed. We breathe naturally and fairly deeply. And while we sit with this, we're not only aware of the world around us, our body, our breathing, but also thoughts and feelings and desires, emotions become clear to us. Just from taking this position and not moving. And the practice of Zazen is really just sitting with those elements of awareness without reacting to them, without making any choices, not responding to them, letting anything that's happening, emotions, thoughts, feelings, arise and fall. They in Zazen, when in the middle of this awareness, there's a spaciousness to the awareness in which the thoughts and feelings and mental activity can arise and fall without grasping. And we don't try to control them or suppress them or concentrate on them or concentrate on any aspect of our experience. Just we just experience that letting go of thoughts and feelings, like arise and fall. And Dogen describes this. It's the marrow of Zazen. He calls it taking the backward step to shine the light inward. And he calls it beyond thinking. So it's the situation in which the thoughts and the gap beyond thoughts arise in this spacious awareness that's available to us. But interestingly, he also refers to it as the immediate attainment of suchness and as totally culminating enlightenment, that this practice of Zazen is itself the activity of the awakened mind, right now, right here, in this body. So, you know, how can that be? So the answer is that, I mean, and you know, our experience is we let the thoughts go. At some point, we get grabbed by some thoughts and we lose track. But then at some point, we will let go and we will come back to an awareness of sitting right here in this moment. And once again, of the thoughts arising and falling automatically. That's all we have to do is when we wake up, just continue to let it happen. There's nothing we actually have to do. And in doing that, we have freed ourselves from the afflictive emotions that might be arising and falling, and from the dichotomy of self and object of awareness that's created by that thinking. And our awarenesses of being here in this very moment, right here, the situation. So what in the general activity that frequently might happen in connection with public speaking of the manas consciousness splitting your experience up into distinct, separate, threatening experiences and people out there, and me on the other hand, the settling of the mind and the release of the afflictive emotions and the thinking converts your awareness into mirror wisdom, which instead of drawing lines, it sees direction, sees relationship and connection of everything. So, as we sit here, letting go of our thoughts and feelings, we wake up to being simply right here. As part of, as part of this moment, of this situation, in this room with people sitting here with me, with the smells of the incense, the whirling, the fans overhead, and so on. And that's immediately the case. That's immediately the culmination of our practice enlightenment. But I would say that it's also the case that while that happens immediately, as we practice over time and the mind settles more and karmic seeds lose some of their energy, we find ourselves more and more firmly in this moment, inseparably locked into this moment, in the sensation that this is, we are here in this indivisible moment in relation to everything in it, which Dogen would refer to as the experience of Genjo Kwan, the experience of this boundless, indivisible, interrelated universe as it presents itself to us, as it is present to us, and as it is present in us. And that awareness, our awareness of doing that, is Jijuyu Samadhi, the Buddha's becoming aware of its connected, interrelated nature through us and through our awareness. That's great. And it's really pretty simple. You know, just we just set the challenge for us as Soto practitioners, and which needs to be a topic for Taigan or some of us another time, is that Soto Zen's focus is on putting that awareness and that world of connection and interrelation into action, expressing it. How do we express that connection with everything? That's Soto Zen's version of koan. How is the great, boundless, indivisible universe expressed through me? And that's the work of a lifetime. So that's very short. But I wanted to give people a chance to see if their experience of Zazen is in accordance with that, and or if you wish, you can talk about public speaking. Dylan.
Thank you. I wonder what you think about, a potential or not separation between practice and non-practice. I've been thinking about this recently, about, you know, before I started practicing Buddhism, maybe these are just mental hoops I'm putting myself in. Yeah. I was still practicing, I just wasn't aware that I was practicing. Would I consider that there really isn't any time that I'm actually unplugged from the mainframe?
Mm-hmm.
Right? I just think that I'm unplugged. Like, there were just times when I thought that, or when I would. Yeah, times when I thought that. And there are times now when I think that. But then I remember that I'm not, and that I am. I'm not unconnected, I am connected. And I guess my question is, how do we define practice? You know, was I practicing before, you know, I took Jukai, or before I came to this temple?
I have a couple of things to say about that. One is that Zazen and practice realization add nothing new to our experience. what it, we do is see through our deluded grasping and projection of attachment, aversion, and deluded thinking about the thingness of ourselves in the world. And it's an ordinary experience. It's something I think, I can't speak for everyone, but I imagine everyone in their lives has had some time when they just woke up, here I am. And the difference for us is that we've had someone point out to us the significance of that, and it becomes a practice and a discipline. So the difference for us is between what we do and what other people might experience is simply recognizing it and having the intention. So I would say that before you received the instruction, you were not probably not practicing. But you'd had glimpses of what another way of engaging with your mind and the world would be. I think it's, you're right, I think it's a mistake to seek out the experience. When you sit in zazen, you're not actively thinking, or you're not inhabiting, or let's say something like inhabiting ideas and thoughts and emotions. You're letting them come and go, trying to control your zazen, trying to attain a certain experience. Those would be thoughts as well. I mean, and everybody's got them, but you let them go. If you've recognized them, they lose most of their power and their ability to shape your experience and your response to the world.
Because they can be, have the character of primarily vanities, somehow, it seems, most often, for me. So, I mean, I appreciate your statement, but I think that's consistent with that.
Yeah, I think that, and I want to say that the experience of just being rooted here is part of this, in this moment. It's not something that you figure out. It's not conceptual, and it's not something you can aim for. It's not something you imagine. If you're imagining it, that's imagination. That's not the experience. The experience is literally just being here, but having this not unnaturally or weirdly or psychedelically, but vividly, the experience of being seated here as part of this. Not looking at this, perceiving this, but being here in this.
Yes.
It appears of itself. You're Dogen would say that too.
Merely the state of alienation, which is the flip side potentially of the sense of unity, or unity between the self and the world. But that alienation, that embracing of alienation, I find one of the most unifying emotions, which I think is what you're also describing.
First of all, thank you. Pretty close to where you described that feeling that I guess something that I want to express. This feeling exists in the words, so I'm going to try to work my way through this explanation. For me, of course, I can only speak about my own personal experience with practice, but over time, the defining characteristic, if I want to use that word, I guess it's good, of the way, let's say, whatever you want to call it, it takes on over time this feeling of
nice. I have to speak from experience in this weekend that there are certainly plenty of times when zazen becomes your mind just becomes this wild screaming monkey running around, and you have to just sit with that without resisting.
And plus, it reminds me of something that Dogen says in Tenzo Kyoku. He's speaking about the lines of something I discovered that Dogen does is that when he speaks about one thing, he's actually speaking about everything. Like you can't narrow or whatever. He could be talking about greens in a soup, but what he's actually doing is talking about all of everything that ever exists, whatever. So he says, truly something to be effective, truly this is all just a matter of course, but it just happens when you follow the way these things just happen. They just happen of their own accord. It just kind of clicks into place. However, for most of the time, our minds run around with wild horses and our emotions jump from tree to tree. It's pausing to reflect on the nature of the monkey and the nature of the horse.
For your talk, and I'm also terrified of public speaking. One time I heard a Dharma talk, just kind of struck me. This was like several years ago, but they said that that the past and the future only exist in your mind, and that the past, present, and future only exist right here, right now. And so I've been kind of playing with that recently. And so serious question. Are the past and present, or are the past and the future, are they real? Or is there just this? On one hand, we need to kind of understand past and future to get around in the world.
But
I tend to think of that as a sort of interesting thought experiment that doesn't grab me sort of existentially, but I would say that the past and the past and future are not separate from this moment. Whether they're real now, I think that means what way would they be real now or present now? And Dogen has things to say about that that I'm not really qualified to talk about. I'll let Taigen talk about Uji.
I'll just ask Angie, is the present real? This is all I know. So, as far as I know, yeah. It's as real as it gets.
One of my favorite Zen songs.
Oh, please say.
It does exist. That much satisfying poetry directly addressing your question. There are even thinkers who are only concerned with your question.
Well, I've
written extensively. And they're well worth studying and investigating, especially if the question is pertinent to you.
I didn't mean to drag this into like some sort of melancholy, you know.
No, it doesn't have to be a melancholy question.
Yeah. Luckily you've got time.
Or do I?
To see.
Or do I? Or time's going to be.
Yes, man. I think that's right. And you just have to, you just sit with it and don't get absorbed in it and focused and concentrated on it. I mean, there's other parts of your experience, and you can experience the muddiness and the sleepiness, but let it go. Or not let it go, but sit with it and not get absorbed in it.
Yes. clear. I should say that many times, most people, it's none of this. I'm invoking him all the time because I've been reading a lot of this stuff recently, but the Chiyama Roshi says a lot. He really likes to say that everything that we meet is our life. And that really struck me. He says at one point, he was talking about having this, his focus affected and thought of my guy, just this immense pain. He was talking about how, when we fall into hell, we have to have the, basically we have to have the capacity to accept that hell is out to make hell our home, and that when we're being boiled in the demon's cauldron, then that's where it moves us. And I think that that's important to keep in mind that no matter what comes, we need that, because that's what that's the Dharma stage, I guess we'll say. That's what it is. And I think clarity of this either exists in that. It's not, you know, like the clarity as opposed to numbness and anxiety and whatever, but rather that anything that's coming up is just this. And so that phrase really helped me a lot when you described it that way, because I spent such an awful lot of time trying to get away from painful experiences that actually all of
I always like Uchiyama talking about things like clarity or muddiness and sleepiness is just scenery in your zazen and letting it go. And this story you would tell about on the bright, clear days, everybody's mind would get all clear and comfortable, and everybody would come in and tell them they were enlightened. And he would just go, well, that's just scenery. It's that not becoming immersed in it, maybe, I think. Yeah.
But it's almost like, I do not think that word thinks what it means, what I think it means. You know, like, I think that I'm confused about what that clarity means.
I think that's a good point. Yeah.
For me.
Yeah, clarity beyond clarity and unclarity.
That's the same thing for me. I've got lots of space for conversation.
Sure, good.